Greetings and welcome to all of you critical thinkers out there. This is Throttle Up, and it's a radio show that showcases critical thinking and is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired, and I am a naval aviator and a pioneer in the field of applied critical thinking and other related areas. Our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. So, in other words, move our thought processes ahead of what is going on so that we can do a better job of anticipating the future. Our motto is to employ high-velocity reason to achieve high-octane performance. And, yeah, we have a mission statement, and our mission statement is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. And critical thinking is, in fact, a powerful way to reason. And if we apply it, you'll be amazed at what we can do as individuals and also as groups, as well as members of this country. Our website is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com, one word. And the audio engineering services are provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver. And our media support is for all the things that we do, not just the advertisements for Throttle Up Radio, but for all the other aspects of our media initiative. Media support is provided by Reflections Printing, and they are purveyors of standout handouts, and they are located in St. George, Utah. Their phone number is 435-574-0422. And they have a website also. You could go there and take a look at what they provide for businesses, large or small, doesn't matter. Their website is Standout Handouts. So that's one word, standouthandouts.com. That's their website. Okay, so this week we're going to be talking about the State of the Union address that was delivered by President Trump yesterday. And so we're recording this show the day after. The show will air on, well, Throttle Up, of course, shares on the appears on the weekends on Red State Talk Radio. And now would be a good time to acknowledge the good folks there also. We enjoy working with Red State Talk Radio. They certainly have supported us quite well over the last more than a year and a half that we've been on the air. And so we're going to be talking about the State of the Union address by President Trump, and as well as other related issues. So all aboard. Well, let's see. I've got one more thing to one more thing to talk about before I finish. I'm getting ahead of myself here. All right, so the whole idea behind this show is, of course, critical thinking, bringing critical thinking into the mainstream of American thought. Now, why do we want to do that? Because in some quarters or in some areas, our thinking is poor. Not very good. We need to be able to think in terms of how powerful the United States is and how powerful we are as Americans, instead of being apologetic. Also, another really good reason for this show and for all of us to embrace critical thinking was was a Future of Jobs report that was published by the World Economic Forum. And as you know, that was also called Davos, or was held this year in Davos, Switzerland, in which President Trump spoke. So they publish a number of reports. And this was, I believe, their latest report. They call it the Future of Jobs Report. And again, this was published by the World Economic Forum. Now, they predicted that by the year 2020, critical thinking and complex problem solving will be the most in-demand set of skills in the global job market, but also the hardest to recruit for. All right, so that is one of the major reasons, I guess you could say, for this particular show, Throttle Up, which is a show that embraces critical thinking and in all its various forms. So let us press on and all aboard the Throttle Up Express. This is a place where all critical thinkers are welcome with open arms and where America finds solutions to its most pressing problems. Okay, so finally, the Throttle Up is normally organized into three parts. Part one is a continuing discussion of critical thinking, and a related subject is complex problem solving. Now, we're going to talk more about that because that is the phrase that was used by the World Economic Forum. It's also a phrase that's becoming more and more popular in this field of critical thinking, or the broader field, if you will. I call it the thinking industry. I know that's a bit of a stretch, but stay with me. All right, I tend to do that every now and then. Go way outside the box, but that's okay. That's the whole point of the show anyway. So what is a thinking industry? We'll get into that, all right? And we'll all become proficient in that, what that means in the various aspects of it and subcategories of the thinking industry. Nevertheless, critical thinking and complex problem solving now sort of go hand in glove, okay? Now, is one the same as the other? In some respects, one is the same as the other. In some respects, they're different. Not wildly different or not profoundly different, but there are some differences. Or another way of saying that is that a critical thinking is a general set of cognitive operations. Now, you can add to that general set some things that target certain areas or certain arenas, if you will. Complex problem solving, of course, is a very important area in which we want to be proficient. We want to become proficient problem solvers in complex environments. And so that's another way of saying it. So I guess I'm going to start using critical thinking and complex problem solving more often now as we go forward in the show and other things that I do. Currently, one of the things that I'm involved in right now is I'm developing a series of instructional videos. So these videos will be available probably through various outlets, some internet TV channels, as well as perhaps, I'm not exactly sure now because I'm not the final say in these videos. I'm sort of like the talking head and the content provider. But these there's a series of videos on critical thinking in complex environments. That's actually the title of the series, Critical Thinking in Complex Environments. And so Once those videos are available, I'll be passing them on to my audience and providing that information in other forms. Anyway, part one is all about critical thinking. Part two is our storyboard. Storyboard is the story of America in various forms. And this week, it'll be the story of the State of the Union address that occurred yesterday, which was Tuesday of this week. And part three is our radio essay. And radio essay is usually a more in-depth treatment of what we're trying to get at. It could also be things like a book report. This week, it is, in fact, going to be a book about a book, about a book. Where it's at least going to start the discussion about a particular book that is becoming actually quite famous. I understand that this book is now, I believe it's number one on Amazon, partly because it was reported on in the Wall Street Journal and also in other forms. Okay, so let us press on now. Part one. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up for this week, and this is part one. And again, part one is a continuing discussion of critical thinking. Now, what I'm going to be doing here is I'm going to be starting a series under part one, all right? And the series is entitled Becoming a Solutions Provider. So this is, I didn't really think of it until now, but I guess this is part one of part one. That's a little bit hard to figure, but that's the best I can do at the moment as I look at my notes here. Anyway, so this is Becoming a Solution Provider, part one. What does that mean? Okay, this is pretty important. All right. And the reason why I want to do this is twofold. First of all, I have talked about this before, but I listened to the State of the Union address by President Trump yesterday. And one of the things that struck me was that America is open to business and America is open, in my mind, America is open to innovation. Okay. Or another way of saying that. All right, is that not only is America open to business, but America is open to innovative solutions to some of our most pressing business problems. So if that's the case, and I believe it is, all right, I believe that this is now probably from an opportunity standpoint, this is one of the best times in my memory to be an American. To be in America and to be either be engaged in business or thinking about returning to business as a retiree or as a veteran or getting involved in business as a high school or college graduate or a graduate of vocational school or a community college, whatever, all right? I think this is a great time for many business opportunities. Also, it's a great time for new startups, the putting together new business models and new business ideas. And a good example of that is Uber, Lyft, and other ride-sharing companies. And so I wanted to start this series, Becoming a Solutions Provider. Now, what does that mean? It basically means that we want to figure out how to solve customer problems in novel ways. Example of this, and I just have two, and there's probably many, many more examples of this, but I have two. The one is Lyft and Uber. They are current examples of how one can solve, in this case, the urban transportation problem in novel ways. And they have done so quite successfully. Now, what they have done is they have leveraged a number of available technologies, digital technologies, mobile devices, GPS, and stuff like that. They've harnessed the set of technologies and available service providers combined with a set of unique algorithms that these new ride-sharing enterprises have in fact, invented a new business model. And this type of business does not actually own major physical assets. In other words, they don't own the transportation vehicles, and they don't own the service providers, actually. They do not own any of this, what we would call traditional stuff. And they don't own the roads. They don't own the GPS systems in place. But what they do have is a vision. They have ideas, and they have implementing algorithms. And they have implementors. Is that a word? Implement people that implement. I've got to say that it is. So implementors, and then they have independent subcontractors. All right, so they have created a new business model. And what are they doing? They're providing solutions. They're not selling hardware. They're not selling widgets or gizmos. They're selling solutions. All right, now you can argue a little bit about some of the semantics that I'm using, and that's okay. That's not really not the point. The point is this. More and more companies, whether they are teeing off from this idea or looking at other ideas or looking at as what's coming out of the research communities or what have you, more and more companies are trying to work up to the point where they can be considered to be solution providers for a particular a segment of a industry, a particular industry or segment of the business community. So a growing list of companies and organizations are, in fact, attempting to redefine themselves as solution-based enterprises instead of the old industrial model, which is based upon selling manufactured things. Now, this actually requires a revolution of thought. When a company wishes to provide customer solutions instead of selling manufactured products, it needs to rethink what this actually means. Number one, the actual use of an engineered manufactured product while achieving all technical performance objectives may still be difficult to employ and disappointing to the customer. Now, this is a growing problem. A lot of high-tech systems and high-tech devices are still being viewed by the customer as difficult to use. It is too complex in many operational settings, and there is a rather large, even perhaps even a gigantic move afoot to try to do something about this. Now, there's a lot of efforts going on, a lot of organizations and a lot of people struggling with this. It's a challenge that's not easily solved. And there's a number of reasons why it's not. But this may very well be great business opportunities for many people that think outside the box and many critical thinkers. High-tech data generating systems, for example, using modern computational platforms, have been a serious disappointment to most customers in that, and get this, of course, I've mentioned this before, but this is really so profound, it really ought to be repeated as often as possible. 90% of all enterprise data that is being and has been collected is actually never used. Now, this is really a tremendous waste of resources, tremendous load on the workforce, and tremendous load on the enterprises and organizations that are collecting all of this data that's actually not being used. Okay, and so this is a golden opportunity for a new type of enterprises to enter our modern industrial landscape, which is a becoming or offering the customer viable solutions to complex problems. The mission team. What is the mission team? We talked about this before. And this is another really profound change in the way we think about organizations, in the way we think about businesses. And this was I saw it for the first time in a report in the Wall Street Journal about a MIT conference that was discussing this issue. So what is this? More companies are attempting to form mission teams. And these are teams that are formed up from time to time to do one thing, and that is problem solving, to find solutions to complex problems being faced and for which a solution is urgently needed. So these teams form up, they are brought together, they do their work, and they come up with solutions, and they rapidly prototype these solutions in a low-tech environment. And once they do that, then they go away, all right? Because then the solution in its low-tech, rapidly prototyped form is passed on to some design team. Okay, these are called mission teams. These are not design teams. These are mission teams. The mission team is the first order of business. So anytime you have a problem, you ought to be creating a mission team. And it could be a two. It normally is more than that in an organization. Now, a mission team is supposed to consist of not just one discipline. That's particularly important. It needs to be a cross-disciplinary approach to things. But it should consist of a wide variety of disciplines. But one thing that is often overlooked is that in many cases, special skill sets are required in order to solve problems that are urgent, yet complex. Okay, you can't solve an urgent, complex problem on the fly. You cannot do it on an ad hoc basis. There has to be, just like any other meaningful activity, if you want to go in to solve problems in a complex environment, there has to be a certain amount of preparation and planning. So if that is your mission, okay, that is your purposeful activity, you have to prepare and plan for this. You cannot just do it on the fly. Think of it in aviation terms. All right, you go in and you try to you put together this mission team designed to solve a problem. All right, so how does one organize oneself around this? Just throwing together a bunch of people in a conference room is not the answer. We need to prepare and plan for this. What's your flight plan? What's your flight plan for doing this? What are the key steps? What are the key sets of skills that are necessary? Just assuming you're going to have all the skills necessary to solve a pressing complex problem is probably a prescription of disaster. So let's not make that mistake right up front. In other words, let's think critically. Is special skill sets required in order to solve problems that are urgent and yet complex? The answer is yes. So complex problem solving is a set of skills that must be learned but are often not taught, presumably because it is assumed that the current set of employees are good enough critical thinkers. That is a bad assumption. Don't assume that. But this is essentially a crapshoot. If we are truly serious about becoming a new type of solutions enterprise, and we need to be convincing about this new business model and this new business approach or new business strategy, the way to presumably be convincing is to, one, either have available physical things to sell or have critical thinkers in place to do the actual problem solving. Now, I would say that if you want to be a solutions provider and you also want to sell physical things, or you want to sell a set of definable products, I would say that's probably not a very good mix. That's going to be a hard sell unless you can divide the solution provider organization, divide it apart from the hardware providing organization. You know, my thoughts on the subject are, okay, I guess I would agree that you could probably do both. I think it's probably going to be hard sell to do both, though. I really do. And so you need to be convincing. If you are going to do both, you need to be able to convince the customer, and not just with a bunch of smoke and mirrors, but to convince the customer that you can actually do both. My preference would be that you do one or the other. You either provide solutions to a customer's most pressing problems, or you provide the physical aspects of a particular set of products. In other words, things, right? Tangible things, if you will. The big question here is, do you have critical thinkers in place to do the actual problem solving? All right. So if your major mission objective is to solve a customer's most pressing problem, if that's your mission statement, do you have problem solvers in place to do that? All right. Now, presumably, the customer is having difficulty with this problem, right? And many of them do. And more of them are agreeing with the fact that, yeah, they're going to need some help in this realm of problem solving and problem definition and problem solving. They're going to need some help. And so you propose to help the customer solve their problems. And do you have the justification for claiming to be a solutions-based enterprise? Good question. So the challenge for all of us, particularly for all solutions-based enterprises, once they make the decision to transform themselves into a solutions enterprise, is to recognize the distinction. And this is important, to recognize the distinction between normal and complex environments. Now, we're going to cover that. And this is particularly important, right? So when we get into this realm of complex problem solving, or another way of saying that is to solve it, is solving problems, or at least attempting to solve problems in a complex environment. How do we do that? And we're going to cover this in considerable detail in future shows. But for right now, that ends part one. And now let's press on to part two. Okay, welcome back to part two of Throttle Up for this week. And part two, of course, is our storyboard. And the story is the State of the Union Address by President Donald Trump to the joint session of Congress. And that occurred Tuesday of this week. So I guess I could say in a phrase that the State of the Union Address announces the fact that America is open for business. All right. And that was pretty clear. And also America is gaining confidence in on the world stage in terms of business as well as other things. So America is a proud company, and it's open for business. Now, as a prelude or a preface to what I want to talk about in terms of the State of the Union Address, I wanted to cover a few things right up front. It's kind of revealing. I was kind of doing some out-of-the-box thinking here as I was preparing for this show and putting together my notes. And I think this is kind of revealing. It's easy to find. This is not something that's hard to get. But I wanted to talk about various countries, their populations, and their GDP. Okay? Why do I want to do that? Well, I kind of want to do that and for a number of reasons. One is to get us a better perspective of our country on the world stage and what's going on with the rest of the world, not only in terms of trade and, of course, military preparedness, but other things. Okay, so for our country, the USA, we have a population of about 323 million people, And we have a GDP of $18.57 trillion per year. So it's a GDP of almost $18.6 trillion per year. In comparison, our neighbor to the north, Canada, has a population of 36.2 million people, and they have a GDP of $1.78 trillion. So their GDP is less than $2 trillion and with 36 million people. Australia, which is I guess you could say Australia is roughly the same size. Not actually sure about that. So Australia has 24.1 million people with a GDP of $1.2 trillion per year. A rather small economy, as well as Canada. Canada is a rather small economy, as it turns out. Why that is, I'm not sure. United Kingdom has a population of 65.6 million people. They have a GDP of $2.6 trillion per year. Germany has, let's say, a population of 82.6 million. And their GDP is $3.5 trillion per year. France has a population of 66.9, so about 67 million people, GDP of $2.5 trillion. And China, our closest competitor, has a population of 1.379, so 1.38 billion people. And they have a GDP of $11.2 trillion per year. Okay, so that's America and the world stage. So my overview, or this is the overview that I have written down with respect to the State of the Union address by President Trump. A new tide of optimism is sweeping America. That's kind of my overview. And America should be proud to be in a country, or Americans should be proud to be in a country that celebrates the individual and the potential for each and every one of us to be or become extraordinary. So America, we could say this, America is an extraordinary country because its people are extraordinary. And the first thing that President Trump did was to point out some rather impressive American heroes. I'm going to list some of them here that were talked about, because recognizing American heroes, recognizing these individuals, these are, ordinary Americans. Of course, there's nothing ordinary about them, but, comes from all walks of life, but these, you could call these ordinary Americans. Anyway, the first one is the Coast Guard Petty Officer Ashley Tucker. And she was responsible for saving the lives of 40 people, 40 or more people in a recent hurricane event that, as you well know, this past summer, that hit Houston and other places. So pretty extraordinary piece of work. Also, the second extraordinary but really quite extraordinary person was firefighter David Dahlberg. And what he did during some of the devastating fires in California, he actually was responsible for saving the lives of 60 children. Again, quite an extraordinary American hero. So these two are clearly in the class of all American heroes. Also, Congressman Steve Scalise, he was singled out by President Trump as being a hero and a survivor of a vicious attack on him for political reasons. And, of course, the Capitol Police officers that responded to the situation in short order and were able to save the lives of many others. Now, President Trump mentioned that these came together in the time of tragedy. And he made a call, all right? He made a call out or a challenge to all of us. The call tonight is to come together like they did as representatives of the people. So come together and be true Americans and to work for America, not for some kind of parochial interest. All right, so the second section of this, I have labeled it the strength of America. And here is where we celebrate America, or where President Trump wants us to join with him in the celebration of America. And also to recognize the great strength that is, in fact, America, and be all proud of that fact. So, strength of America, he calls it America strong, or not sure he called it that, but let's say that that's part of it, America strong. State of the Union is strong, 2.4 million new jobs have been created in the last year, 200,000 additional manufacturing jobs have been created. And both of those, of course, are quite extraordinary achievements in a short period of time. Wages are, in fact, rising. Wages and, I would add parenthetically, wages and bonuses are actually rising. And they're rising quite profoundly. Also, another parenthetical comment here is that Walmart has recently announced that they're going to be paying their entry-level workers, I think it's $11.50 an hour, which is considerably above the minimum wage. So wages are rising across the board. Unemployment claims are dropping across the board to a 45-year low. That's, you know, when you think about it, that's really quite incredible. That is a really nice piece of work for any administration. And my hat's off to them. African and Hispanic unemployment, by the way, is at an all-time low. Small businesses are now thriving. The stock market is up, has made gains over the last year to the tune of $8 trillion. In additional wealth, individual 401k value is up. Tax cuts are now in place, and we will be seeing the results of those tax cuts next month, which actually happens to be tomorrow. Regulatory reform is well underway, which, of course, is unleashing the human economic potential. Relief from excessive burdens being experienced by the middle class is occurring. Business tax is down to 21% from 35%. 4,000 additional dollars per family income is being realized per year. That's amazing. That's really quite incredible. And an example of this was, he pointed out, a small Ohio business was expanding because of the economic improvement. They're expanding by the tune of 14 additional workers. And he had the business owners there, and he had one of the workers who was a master welder there, in the audience. Apple, by the way, is going to add additional 20,000 workers in America, and also ExxonMobil has just announced a $50 billion investment in plants and properties in petroleum product manufacturing distribution. So in America, so that's pretty impressive. He called this the new America moment. He said, "This is your time to achieve anything." All right, and I would, You know, not only would I second that motion, but I would say that I would take that a bit further. I would say, sure, it is, in fact, the new America moment. And now is the time to think about these new ideas that you've been sort of like have had on the back burner for a while. You might consider getting into this area, which we call becoming a solutions provider for a particular industry or industrial cross-section. I think there's lots of room for some innovative ideas. I know that even the United States Air Force has opened up an innovation facility here in Las Vegas for people to come in and showcase their innovative ideas to the United States Air Force. So now's the time for innovation to flourish. Now's the time for the new ideas to come forward. Most of us have them. And now let's put them into a form that we can use to create a new business venture and maybe even a new industry. You know, I'm proposing that, you know, of course, I don't really think in limited terms. I'm proposing that a new business venture is to become a solutions provider, and primarily to do that is primarily to put together an organization and a business model that focuses on and primarily is in the business of providing solutions to a particular cross section of the modern industrial landscape. In other words, across for a particular industry, if you will, or a particular group of industries, is to become a solutions provider. All right. So this is all, I think it's all encouraging. I think it's all great news. And I'm delighted. And also it supports this radio show. Because this radio show is all about new ways of thinking. It's all about innovation. It's all about critical thinking and how we can use that to better our lives and to better our organizations, to better our companies, and to develop to better our military units that we belong to. And now, he also talked about rediscovering the American way. And that kind of goes hand in glove with this discussion of economic opportunities, but it goes beyond that too, right? The rediscovering the American way, which is a focus on faith and family, and the recognition that in America we believe in the phrase "In God We Trust." So let me say that again for emphasis: in America we believe in the phrase "In God we trust." Okay, I will second that motion and celebrate that, because that is pretty profound. Rarely do I hear that from a politician. They want us to trust them, but we place our trust in God and in ourselves first and foremost. He went on to celebrate the police, the military, and the veterans. And he did that in a number of really interesting ways. The first celebratory act was to recognize a 12-year-old boy by the name of Preston Shark. Now, what he did, he created a movement and set up an organization to plant 40,000 U.S. flags in various VA cemeteries and various also national cemeteries, if you will. And his movement has really caught on, and he was honored. He was there, and he was honored by President Trump for doing so. We also talked about why we salute our flag, right? So if Preston Shark is going to go way, way out of his way to see that our fallen soldiers and our deceased veterans have American flags on their gravesite. Why do we salute our flag? Why do we honor that? Why did Preston honor such a thing, using the flag as a means to express honor? And why do we stand for the national anthem? And the reason why we do both of those things is because we are honoring those who have given their lives for this country, those who have served this country with distinction, and the greatness of America and how proud we are to be in the world's greatest country. And that's why we do it. Donald Trump went on to say that Americans love their country. And there's a special bond of trust between America and its citizens. Veterans, of course, he singled out. He said that the veterans must be treated better in our culture, in our country. He talked about the new healthcare model, which embraces choice. He talked about VA accountability, the new VA Accountability Act, and how it is weeding out all of the deadwood and the hostile agents in the Veterans Administration organization and replacing those with new workers that are dedicated and committed to providing the best possible service for this worthy group of Americans, which we call the veterans. And of course, I'm one. I'm a retired veteran, and so I particularly appreciate that, not just for myself. No, it really is far beyond that because, you know, I belong to a couple of veterans organizations, and my fellow veterans are each and every one of those that I associate with and I meet, also the veterans that I meet on the road during my book tours. These are incredible individuals, and I am honored to be part of their group. They're really quite amazing. So he talked about accountability and respect with respect to the veterans and with respect to the federal organizations that support veterans care and veterans causes. Veterans care, by the way, is, and this is me speaking now, okay, but I think this is important. Veterans care is an earned benefit. It is not an entitlement. And that's a really important distinction to make. And so whenever someone conflates entitlements with the VA or veterans care, the veterans really need to stand up and challenge that individual or that group or that organization in misrepresenting what veterans care is. Veterans care is an earned benefit. The veterans have earned that. They have earned that benefit. It is a contract between the United States government and the veteran. And the member of the military that went out and risked their lives to do what was necessary to protect this country. Okay, moving on. The next subject area in the State of the Union address was energy. And of course, this is particularly important because the energy sector is really starting to boom. You can begin to see this in reports coming out of the Bakken oil field in North Dakota and how the production has increased. You begin to see this also, a recent article about oil shale and how the cost of production has actually gone down, And now it's no longer a cost deficit operation, but it is something that actually produces a positive income stream. So energy, you know, is very important. Here where you have the Keystone Pipeline in North Dakota extension, we have reduction up across the board, particularly in North Dakota and in Texas. We have ended, according to Donald Trump now, we have also ended our war on clean coal. And according to President Trump, the U.S. is now a net exporter of energy. And it will surpass all other countries in production of energy resources. It will surpass all of the large oil producers that heretofore were considered to be the major players on the energy field. Business is of course starting to be, business is booming, you know, in the business sector. Businesses, he talked about Motor City. Now is back. He talked about Chrysler and Toyota and Mazda reinvesting or investing in new plant operations in America. He talked about the FDA and the new drug and device approval process. So the streamlining and speeding up that process. He talked about experimental treatments and opening the door for experimental treatments to terminally ill patients, and a reduction, or he wants to seriously reduce the prescription drug costs across the board. He cannot understand why prescription drugs are more expensive in this country than in other countries. On trade, he also wants to eliminate unfair trade practices, and he wants to protect intellectual property that originates in America. So that's pretty important. So the protection of individual property, or intellectual property rather, is extremely important. Infrastructure, of course, is a big deal to him. We talked about it, building our nation's roads and bridges, coming together to establish safe, reliable infrastructure. $1.5 trillion investments he wants in infrastructure. He wants a partnership between states, private sector, and the federal government, and he wants a streamlined approval. Okay. He wants workforce development. Now, here we're going to be talking about that next week, because this is particularly important, and this really goes to the heart and soul of what we're trying to do here on Throttle Up. Talk about developing the workforce to be better critical thinkers and complex problem solvers. At any rate, I see by the clock on the wall that we have now completed another Throttle Up. So I would like to end the show today by thanking my audience, thanking all of you out there for listening, and also thanking Red State Talk Radio for allowing us to participate and be part of their lineup for the weekends. Again, we are on the weekends three times. We are on the Encore channel at 6 p.m. Eastern. We are also on the regular channel at 12 midnight on Saturday. So we are on three times every weekend, and we appreciate that. Thank you, you veterans. Thank you for your service. I am honored to be part of your incredible group. Thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and Reserve. Thank you for serving. And I can see they were about the end of the show. Again, thank you for listening. And we will be back next week for another Throttle Up.